the rest of the story. The former Vice President of the United States had been arrested, charged with conspiracy to commit treason. To this day, nobody knows for sure what he had in mind, but it seems that he was plotting to seize some land in the American Southwest to start his own country. Apprehended along with the former vice president were two couriers, Eric Bowman and Samuel Swartout, in whose possession were discovered secret plans related to this incredible scheme. Troops and arms were already being deployed to the target region, it was alleged. The passing of nearly two centuries since has not abated the astonishment of historians as they re-examine the curious conspiracy of Tom Jefferson's vice president, Aaron Burr. It was considered the trial of the century, even though the century itself was then only a few years young. And since nobody cared much for Aaron Burr anyway, you'll recall he had already killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel, the nation was crying out for a conviction. Now enter Frank, 27-year-old attorney, who had inherited an entire law practice from his Uncle Phil. He's young, for the most part untested, but he's the only lawyer in these newly United States who'll take co-conspirators Bowman and Swartout as clients. Now the trial begins, and I want you to focus on something, tempting as it is to see only the excitement in the circuit court in Richmond. I want you to look over to the defendant's table, to the defendant's attorney. Watch what that attorney is doing. He's scribbling. He's jotting notes on a piece of paper. Now, it might be, it ought to be, related to the trial, but it's not. What it is poetry. This is the way hotshot barrister Frank relaxes, even at home. When, for instance, informing his wife that they'll have company for dinner, Frank, instead of simply telling her, will write her a poem. Over the years, Frank's children will grow accustomed to the little rhyming notes from their father written on scraps of paper or even on hen's eggs. It's more than a hobby, you see. It's Frank's favorite way of communicating, particularly to the people he loves. History records that Frank successfully defended the indefensible Bowman and Swartout, argued their case brilliantly, he got them acquitted, and in the process quickly became one of the most sought-after attorneys in the United States. Burr himself was acquitted as well. But now whenever you hear his name or try to fathom what it seems he tried to accomplish, you'll also recall an eloquent young lawyer, a part-time poet who never did quit his day job in favor of his poetry, and still, despite the historic litigation that made him famous in the practice of law, there's only one thing for which the world at large recognizes him. A few lines that he once jotted down aboard ship. A brief poem he hastily entitled The Defense of Fort McHenry. And it begins, oh say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. That's right. Now whenever you stand to sing our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, I hope you'll envision an ambitious young lawyer named Francis Scott Key, who has a hobby, inscribed rhymes on eggshells. That is the rest of the story.